There's a difference between a hired man and a shepherd who sees the flock as his own. One's in it for the paycheck, and the other is protecting something that he really cares for. And Jesus, in his own words, said, "I am the good shepherd." We, of course, are his sheep. He will protect us from evil. He will keep us safe. He will seek us out if we are lost. He loves us deeply, to the point of being willing to die for us, as he did. But how does he express his love for the flock today, when he's not walking around among us the same way that he did 2,000 years ago? Well, he's still present to us in several ways. One very important way that he is present is within the baptized members of his church, in all of us. We become, in a way, his eyes, his ears, his hands, and his feet in the world. He's using us to do his work and to express his love for the flock. That's why the Lord calls us to acts of charity. When Christians are generous, when we are kind and forgiving, others see in us a glimpse of Jesus at work. Even more than that, though, we find Jesus fully present here in the Holy Eucharist, in the confessional, in the other sacraments. How does Jesus give us these sacraments? Well, through his ordained clergy, especially his priests. Us priests, after all, are the means that Jesus uses to make himself truly present upon the altar in the Holy Eucharist. It's through priests that Jesus forgives sins, our sins, in the confessional. And it's through priests that the Lord comforts the sick and the dying with the anointing of the sick, and so on. Ideally, like Jesus, the Good Shepherd, priests pour out their lives for the flocks entrusted to their care, not as hired men, hired by a congregation or a bishop to just do a job, but as good shepherds who lay down their lives for the sheep. And we can see this in how good priests live their celibacy. They never marry so that they can be available more completely, more generously, as Christ was, not just to one family, but to all people. Such priests are good spiritual fathers who imitate the fatherhood of Almighty God to the best of their ability, bringing about new spiritual life through baptism, preaching, and teaching. We need priests, imperfect though we are, because God works through them, despite themselves, to bring himself into the world and to pour out his graces upon the world through the church. I speak about this today because it is the World Day of Prayer for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And our diocese has been blessed these recent years with a good number of men answering God's call to the priesthood. Per capita, our diocese has a lot of priests. It's great, but that's not the case everywhere. In the U.S., the number of Catholic priests right now is about 34,000. But in 1975, a little before I was born, there were about 59,000. It's a loss of like 40%. Meanwhile, the number of Catholics in the United States has grown from about 54 million to 75 million, an increase of roughly 50%. Fewer priests in our country, serving more and more Catholics. Again, though, here we're blessed. You can call me or a neighboring priest, and we can probably attend to your need within the hour, day or night. But elsewhere, priests are farther away, they're fewer, and they're often older. So yeah, we're blessed in Western North Dakota, but we cannot take it for granted. Because the number of young men willing to explore the vocation to the priesthood, even here, has dropped dramatically. For most of the years since I entered the seminary, which wasn't that long ago, it doesn't seem that long ago anyway, we had more than 20 men studying for the priesthood for our diocese. But now we're down to 10, and God bless those courageous men for willing to answer God's call. This year our bishop will ordain 2, but then we have a year with no priestly ordinations at all, something that hasn't happened here, I don't think, in a long time. The world is a mess. It's full of suffering. People need Jesus in order to be able to persevere and to have hope. So let's pray that more men, even men from your own families, from our own parish, will be open to God's call to the priesthood so that Jesus can continue to bless the church for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren in the years to come. Don't be afraid to tell a young man that, if you think this is the case, that he would be a good fit for this vocation. That means a lot. And men should not be afraid to consider the priesthood. Most men are not called to be priests. Most men are called to be husbands, and that's important. But every Catholic man, as they're growing up, should at least consider the priesthood in prayer. And men should not be afraid to talk to me about it or to our vocation director at the diocesan offices for vocations, as we'll never pressure anyone to sign up for seminary. That was my experience in going through that process. There was no pressure, because the goal is always to help a man discern what God's will is, not to impose our own will. And of course, I'm always happy to answer questions about this from anyone. Yeah, the priesthood, it can be a challenging life. Some days it's extremely challenging, but so is any vocation, any life that God's calling us to. There's going to be the cross there. But this vocation is also very rewarding. So let us pray for more good and holy priests. And now I need to shift gears a bit and address, of course, the elephant in the room these days. I was talking to the funeral director this morning, and he told me that here in Stanley, there have been something like 8 deaths in the last week and a half, including, of course, very sadly, our little Harper Staffslin. Our community is really hurting on multiple fronts. So many people with cancers and so many people with lost loved ones were really suffering. In the midst of all this pain and loss, I just pray, let's turn to the Lord with faith. Faith that the Good Shepherd will lead our loved ones home to heaven. With hope that they will be there in the verdant pastures with our Lord. And with love. Love inspired by God, exhibited, lived out in our love and support for one another in this town as we grieve. We do not want to face things like this without God. So let's turn to Him, especially now. It's agonizing to say goodbye to a little one like Harper, but I pray we can take some consolation in the fact that Jesus, I really think so, He's led her home to heaven, her real home. And that the reality of heaven, it's more glorious than we can imagine. And this is why St. John wrote in our second reading today that we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Here in this life, we only have hints of the beauty of heaven. But I do believe that Harper, young and as innocent as she was, she's seeing the Lord as He is in heaven. And you and I, we should live our lives here and now, the rest of our days, however many there are, with the goal of joining her there. For now, though, let's all keep the Staffslands and all the grieving and suffering members of our community in prayer. And let us help one another, too, in whatever ways we can. Amen.